time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in Defense Condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The madness grows in this sick society. Posers laud shallow youth for their empty fads. Phonies seek out vain celebrities for instruction. Slaves glorify globalist parasites for their stolen wealth and power. Politicians are puppets, not leaders. Sheep wear masks and accept deadly vaccines. In these dark times, the wise must lead us. So we call the Wisdom Circle. Each week, Scorpio and Giuseppe will call upon the sages, the learned, the pragmatic, to discuss the great problems and distill the great solutions. Here is the leader of the Wisdom Circle, Scorpio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Giuseppe Vaffangulo with David Scorpio on the Wisdom Circle. I'm broadcasting from a bunker 11 miles west of the District of Criminals. A lot going on in the District of Criminals these days. And Scorpio is in, as Jim Fetzer would say, the exotic land of Ecuador. And Scorpio, are you there, sir?
Hello, Giuseppe. Good to talk with you today. And looking forward to playing the David Icke interview in its entirety today. And then we'll have a little discussion afterwards.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Scorpio. It's a remarkable interview. And every time I watch it, I gain a little more. And I think it's more powerful when it goes completely cut up into two parts. So we thought it would be a perfect thing to do for the Wisdom Circle today, because believe me, if there's one man or woman, but one person, I guess I should say, who has an inordinate amount of wisdom these days, it's David Icke, who's had some amazing metaphysical experiences and a 30-year journey, like he says in the interview coming up in the next minute or so. He's lived many lifetimes in one lifetime, including one of intense ridicule, and now everything that he's written, like in his seminal book, The Biggest Secret, and in the dozen or so other books that he has written since, just laying it all out there that we are under attack by otherworldly absolute forces of evil. Some of the great religions call it satanic, call it whatever you want. It's hello. Can you people hear, listeners, it's in the chat room, hear me now? I paused it. I'm not hearing anything. Can somebody in the chat room reply? Do you hear me? Hello, can you hear me now? Hello? Okay, let's try this again then. The chat room, okay, let's see. Start sharing. Here we go. Let's see.
Radio and eventually television with the BBC. And what that gave me was an insight into the media and how the media works. It also allowed me to develop a writing style where you take the apparently complex and you turn it into simple language for people who haven't done endless research to understand the complexity. Because in the end, the complexity you find is merely a smokescreen for the very simple truths behind it. It's seeing the simple that is the key, and not being obscured from that by apparent complexity. Because this whole global control system in its foundation is very, very simple. The way they played the pandemic hoax is very simple in terms of its structure. And then I got involved in campaigning for the environment, and I became a national spokesman for the British Green Party. And that for a relatively short time, because I could see once I got into politics, actually, that's not going to be the answer. So that gave me an insight into how politics works. It doesn't. And also, it gave me an insight into the mentality that's now behind the climate change, the human-caused climate change hoax, the whole Green New Deal mentality, and what's become known as woke. So all these things, when I look back, have been a progression of experience and gathering knowledge and insight, which has led me here. And then, as you say, I had some amazing, you might call paranormal experiences in 1989 into 1990. And it launched me on this whole 30 years of investigation into who and what is behind world events and to what end. And, you know, for a long time, you know, people just didn't want to know. I said in a video today, you know, I came to America and went all around America in 1996, exposing all this. Well, not really. I was exposing it to myself, really. I mean, the audience was so small. It would have been cheaper for me to get their phone number and call them individually. But something drives you on. I mean, you know this. Something drives you on. And eventually the waters break. And unfortunately, the only way the waters were going to break in any significant event-changing, society-changing way, magnitude, was for it to get really, really bad. Because, you know, you can go on for a long time, and my God, they have, manipulating below the radar, manipulating events, but from the shadows. And you can, people like me can come out and say, this is the plan, and this is what they want to do, and this is where they want to take us, and global fascism, blah, blah, blah. And people say, well, you know, yeah, well, you know, maybe, or even load of rubbish, mate. But there was always going to come a time, there had to come a time, when what they were manipulating below the radar had to break the surface. Because if you want to transform human society, into what you want it to be, which is a global fascist beyond Orwellian state, which is now we're seeing happen. You have to at some point break the surface, because if you don't enter the world that people can see, then you're not going to change the world that people can see, which is your goal all along. Right. And so we're now in this position where the hidden hand of the ages has entered the room.
Yeah.
And what it has done increasingly, which is why it's got to push this on real fast, is it's heard the door click behind it, because now we can see it. And I don't know about your experience, but my own is that while this fear pandemic has put a lot of people into freeze mode, fear of the virus. Funnily enough, I'm 68, you know. I should be one of the people that should be worried. I couldn't. Right. Get on. You know why? Because I'm not going to get a virus that doesn't exist. But the other thing is that at the same time, it's got a lot of people off the fence. Because now people, unless you are totally and utterly in denial of what your eyes are telling you, you can't ignore the fact that actually something of an immense magnitude is happening. And that when you see parliamentary government, you know, in America, you know, the government via Capitol Hill, and in Britain, my God, parliamentary government's over. And you have a small cabal operating out of Downing Street, Whitehall, and the what they call the Cabinet Office. In other words, you know, that around the Prime Minister. Right. They're making the decisions, but actually they're not. They are processing the decisions, and the politicians are reading the script of the decisions made by technocrats, including and primarily medical technocrats on that level, in the background. But the real drivers of what is happening and where it's really all coming from are the psychologists. You know, people don't realize, certainly not in this country and around the world, that the British government cabinet office, which is supposed to just, you know, support the prime minister and the British government, actually part owns a private company called the Behavioural Insights Team, whose job it is, and it openly says it, it's also called the Nudge Unit, after that book by Cass Sunstein and Richard Thaler, called Nudge, about nudging behavior down the channels you want. Right. And this Behavioral Insights Team, which brags that it is, it's advising American cities on how to reframe and reform the behavior of the population. And this is where the masks are coming from. This is where the social distancing and all these things are coming from. Not health, of course. It's coming from psychology, because it's about, you know, if you're going to control billions of people, and at your core, you could get in one room, then you're not going to do that, you know, yourself. You've got to get the target population to do it to itself. And fundamental to that is dictating the perceptions of the population, which then becomes the behavior of the population and collectively becomes human society. So this is why that everything is focused on transforming human behavior. And that's where it's coming from.
Yes, sadly, yes.
Oh, go ahead, David.
I would just like to start off by saying that, you know, your book, the Biggest Secret, it was so tremendously influential in the conspiracy world. It turned the entire understanding of what was going on its head. And I just want to thank you for writing that book. I learned so much from it, and it really influenced me in my thinking as time went on. And what's interesting is when that book came out, a lot of people were saying, oh, David Icke, he's crazy. But not many people are saying that anymore, because almost everything you put in that book has come to fruition, including this this global pedophile network that you wrote about. And 20 years ago, that sounded like, you know, really out there stuff. And now it's hard to deny its existence.
Well, it's interesting. Going on from what I said at the start, I had these paranormal experiences through 1989 through to 1990. And in early 1990, it was so tangible that there was something going on around me that I couldn't see. But you could feel it. And it went on for months and months and months. I found a book, as you mentioned, and it was a book by a psychic called Betty Shine. And so I went to see her. I didn't tell her anything. Didn't tell her what was happening to me. Just said that I had arthritis and maybe her hands-on healing, which she did, might help. But my real reason was, would she pick up what the hell is happening to me? Because there's some very strange things happening around me in the unseen. I go to see her and I'm sitting there and she tells me I'm going to go out on the world stage and reveal great secrets and all the things that I've done and all the things that I'm doing now were all told to me that would happen in 1990. Although it seemed crazy, I was a television presenter with the BBC at the time and a national spokesman for the British Green Party. Something here said, go with this, mate. Go with this. Go with it. Something just told me. And I did. And one of the things that Betty Shine said to me that day, saying that she was getting communications to give to me, was that from that moment, I was going to be led to knowledge. And at other times, knowledge would be put directly into my mind. All I can say is that's precisely what happened. Because from the moment I left her house, my life became a synchronistic journey of personal experiences, meeting people, whistleblowers, etc., people that knew information that helped me to understand, came across documents, books, all these different kinds of sources of information. And they were that what would happen, and it's still happening, is that a subject would come into my life just out of nowhere. And suddenly information on that subject will be coming from all directions. And the other thing, the other side of that, which seems strange at the time, we will put knowledge into his mind, is that for the first very few years, I would come across information and I would conclude from that information what was going on. But then it started to change. And what I would do was conclude what was going on from intuition, whatever you want to call it. And then the five sense, dates, places, information, people information would come to provide the five sense world support, evidential support for that conclusion. And that, I've just gone on. And the challenge for me, has been, oh, it's not anymore. It never really was, for reasons I'll come to. But the challenge was, when this information was taking you into areas that were too mainstream society, far out and crazy, you still went with it if the information supported that. You weren't going to censor yourself and edit yourself because what will people think of me? And that goes back to the fact that when I first came out with all this and what was happening to me, not at the time I knew what was happening to me. It was all like, what's happening to me? I went on a TV program called The Wogan Show in Britain in early May, I think it was May in 1991. And as a result of that interview, I went through absolutely historic levels of ridicule. I couldn't walk down the street in Britain without being laughed at. Going into a pub, forget it. There was uproar. A restaurant, again, you know, forget it. You only had to say my name if you were a comedian on the TV, and you'd get a laugh. There was no need for a joke. Now, one of two things is going to happen then. It's either going to destroy you. And I have this phrase, life tends to give you your greatest gifts brilliantly disguised as your worst nightmare. You're either going to go under or you're going to come out honed like steel. And what you're going to do with the latter is you're going to ditch the prison that most people live in, which is the fear of what other people think. Most people are not living their lives. They're living what they think other people think they should be. In other words, they're living a phantom self and not the real self. They may live that within themselves and within their own thoughts, but they're not going to externalize it because what will people think? You see this woke mentality and this political correctness and all this stuff. That's adding to it now. What are the consequences for me of saying what I really think? But because I went through that enormous ridicule, well, they're all bloody laughing anyway. So what's it matter? Sodger, as we say in Britain, I'm going to be me and I'm going to speak my truth. Now, at that time when all this was happening, I had no idea that a little bit along the road, some seriously far out information was going to come into my possession and that I was going to communicate this. And had I not been through that period of enormous ridicule, which had like cleansed me of this fear of what other people think, then, you know, you would have said, because I was a journalist for years. I knew what the consequences were of coming out with this stuff. I knew what the reaction was going to be. But you do it anyway, because you pursue the truth rather than think about how people will see you. And it's a simple thing. If you speak your truth and you keep speaking it and you don't apologize or edit or censor yourself, if that truth has any validity in itself, then eventually that will be shown to be so. And I was always confident, unfortunately confident, really, because the whole point of what I do and people like me do and people like you do is to alert enough people to stop what is planned happening. So it gives me no pleasure to be vindicated, because I don't want to be vindicated. I want to stop it. But what has happened as a result of speaking your truth amid enormous ridicule and abuse is that now there'll be a lot of people who were part of that ridicule and abuse who are now saying, well, hold on a minute. Look what's happening. Look what he said. And that process would not be taking place without, speaking your truth amid great hostility. So this is what I say to people, don't worry about what people think of you and people think of what you say, because the time will come eventually when they'll think something different. And they think something different of you because of what you said at a time of the abuse and the ridicule. And the other thing is, hey, what does it matter what people think of us? What matters is what we think of us. We shouldn't go through our lives molding ourselves to be what others demand that we be and have the opinions that others demand that we have. Because that we're not us anymore. We're them. And I'd rather be me. and if that means, taking abuse. But again, so abuse me. Okay, abuse me. Okay, fine. Ridicule me. Okay, fine. Now, how that affects me is not down to you, abuser, ridiculer. It's down to me. All right? I can go, oh, no, you can't say that. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. No. Or you can go, thanks for sharing that with me. Have a nice day. Carry on with your life untouched. And we have the power to do that. And this is the power that more and more people are starting to realize that they have when they break from the herd and start to speak a different truth.
Well, thank God that you, as an early adopter and a pioneer, are helping people find that courage, that independence to break away from the herd. That's vital to defeat this satanic evil. And speaking of evil, you mentioned so lucidly in your answer to the first question that the hidden hand is now in the room and the door is closed. And I mean, they, what I don't understand, I'd like to get your thoughts on it, is the following scenario. In America a few years ago, and perhaps in Britain, they're on ESPN, the sports entertainment network, they show professional poker where these high stakes $1 million hands, and the guy would dramatically push all his chips in. I'm going all in. And it's like, for you know, centuries, the hidden hand worked behind the shadows, playing the long game, just showing infinite patience. And all of a sudden, in the last, you know, you could argue, beginning with their attacks on Trump, who it was elected as a nationalist, and they don't want anybody to think a nationalist can get into power. And really, the door slammed behind 8 months ago when they went all in with the World Economic Forum Great Reset, with the new normal, with the Great Fear scamdemic, and all of a sudden they're here. But if you play a long game for centuries, and you could wait 30, 40 years, Giuseppe, David Scorpio, David Icke, Jim Fetzer, Brian Rose, all the truth tellers are going to be dead, and your hypnotic mental entrainment skills are very effective on the young people. Why don't you just wait till we're all dead and they're doubtful there'll be another generation as powerful as you? Why didn't they wait?
Well, there's a few things to that. First of all, we go back to breaking the surface. When you reach a point that you want to transform society very clearly in the world of the seen, very, very, very quickly, and you have to do it very quickly, because once you break the surface, people are going to see what they couldn't see before. They're going to get out of denial about what they were in denial of before. And so you've got to move fast once you break the surface. Once you enter the room, you've got to move fast to lock everything down. God, what a phrase of 2020 that is. So it's basically, it's like, you know, you're coming to the end of an athletics race, you know, I don't know, 5,000 meters or something, 10,000 meters, you know, the long game you talk about. But then on the 200 meters out, you run for home. You break from the pack and you run for home. Mm-hmm. Now, if you watch an athletics race, once you've broke for home, you pretty much most of the time, one or two exceptions, but most of the time, you've got to get to the line first. You can't let anyone catch you. You've got, because if they catch you, they're probably going to go past you. So you've got once you break, it's you've got to go for it, and that's why they're moving things so fast, so ludicrously fast, that it's alerting a lot of people to the fact that what they're using to justify that speed makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Right.
When you compare it to an alleged a danger to health, and you know, the other thing is that when and this may go into the esoteric a bit, but I've been doing this for 30 years, and it absolutely has constantly been confirmed to me. What happened in those early years of 1990-91, when I was trying to, my head was exploding and my life was transforming and I didn't know what was going on. I met that one psychic lady, Betty Shine. That was the only one that I chose to go and meet. Others came into my life through often amazing synchronicity. In those first 2 years, 1991, if you wanted to meet a professional psychic, you should just have followed me. I was meeting them all the time. What do you do? Oh, I'm a professional psychic. Oh, God, another one. But there was a common theme, and it was this, that there is a – this was how it was communicated to me through several of these people in 1990-91. There is a vibrational change coming, a frequency change coming that's going to have the effect of waking humanity up from its slumber, from its coma. Those that were more awake, in other words, less encased in the bubble of the perceptual bubble of the five senses, they were going to be affected first, and then eventually people who at that time, early 1990s, were solid gold asleep to all this, were also going to start to wake up to it. So that was part of it. And the other part of it was this, interestingly, that this vibrational change was going to have the effect of bringing to the surface all that had been hidden from humanity. Now, in that period, 1991, there was absolutely no evidence of that. I mean, please believe me. I remember, no evidence. But what's happened since is I've seen it. As I've traveled all around the world, doesn't matter about the culture, doesn't matter about the religion the background, it started to happen. I saw it started to happen as the 90s moved through to the millennium. I saw it increase after 9/11, which is a wake-up call for a lot of people, comparatively, not for vast numbers. But it's gone on and it's gone on. And this pandemic hoax has been a massive wake-up call. And this vibrational change, because of what I've just said, I gave it the name Truth Vibrations, because it was going to bring to the surface all that had been hidden. And when you think what we know now that we didn't know in 1990, that we didn't know in 2000, we didn't know in 2010, there has been this progression of humanity seeing more and more of what's actually it couldn't see before. And this is where we come to the hysteria of censorship by Silicon Valley corporations that are owned by this global cult, as I call it, and all this just mind-blowing, unquestioning compliance of the mainstream media to this whole narrative. This is not a response. All this censorship is not a response in the sense of we have power, we are going to shut you down. They have no choice but to shut people down. No choice. Because their narrative is so insane, so ludicrous, so unsupportable by the evidence. The only way they're going to protect it is by censoring that which is exposing and unraveling it. So this censorship is not an expression of power. It's an expression of trying to defend the narrative from the truth. And as a result of that, you can see where the real power is. I mean, here you have Google on YouTube, Facebook, all these people, multi-billionaire corporations owned by this cult. This cult owns the financial system. It owns governments, as we've seen by the globally common response orchestrated from a central point. It owns the World Health Organization. It owns all these things. And yet it's terrified of a bloke, in my case, in a little flat on the Isle of Wight in England, putting out information. Right. So they have to ban you from YouTube and ban you from Facebook. So where's the real power? The power is in information, and they can only protect their narrative by seeking to suppress the information that would expose it. So I think we need to just realize that one of the great mind manipulation techniques, a fundamental one, is to persuade the population. This has gone on throughout history, to persuade the population that authority has power. Right. It doesn't. This is the fantasy. And the fact that people like Facebook, with all their billions and all their control of information, same with YouTube, the fact that they feel it necessary to censor me is a massive statement about where the power really is.
Indeed.
So the thing is that how it works is the population gives its power to authority. Oh, yeah, you, yeah, well, I'll believe you. Yes, I'll lock down and I won't complain. And then authority recycles that power back against the population, at which point the population thinks authority has power. But actually, the power that's recycled against us is the power we've given away. And, you know, people say, what do we do about this? Well, it's real simple. The way out of this, it's not a brain science, you know, brain surgery. It's obvious. The question is, how many people are prepared to do it? And that, to say no, the power of no, I'm not doing it. You will do this and I won't do it. And if enough people refuse to do what we're told to do, it won't be done. It won't happen. And then we'll see where the real power is. Imagine I was doing a Q&A into a conference this week. Oh, I see the weekend. It was a conference taking place on Jekyll Island in Georgia. And right at the end, there was a great question from a 10-year-old girl about, you know, where he's at school and all this stuff. One of the points I made is, look, where's the power in the school? Okay, what's the instant reaction? It's the teachers, and it's the head teachers. Okay, so all the kids in the school refuse to wear a mask. Refuse. Now where's the power? Where's the power? What are the teachers going to do about it?
Yeah.
So it's understanding this power dynamic is absolutely vital to see that actually we're not oppressed by authority. We oppress ourselves to the benefit of our authority.
That's so true.
And just to finish the point with the question that was posed. So with this truth vibrations transformation of people, I mean, what's happening is that the energetic field that actually connects us all, like Wi-Fi and computers, is being affected by this vibrational change. And because we're constantly interacting with this field, like interacting with Wi-Fi, what happens in the field affects us. And one of the big targets over thousands of years of this cult has been control of the field, to hold it in a low vibrational state, because then that you're more likely to, I mean, how do you affect all the fish at the same time? You affect the sea.
Right.
And what's happening is this vibrational change is starting to impact, well, massively starting to impact on the field, and it's starting to impact on people. Who are beginning to question where they've never questioned before. And, you know, every time we do, like we're doing this interview now, we are talking about this information. And it will be perceived that the people affected by this information will be those watching or those listening. Yes, it will. But everything that we communicate in this show is also going into the field. Every time you talk about it, every time you communicate this information, it's also going into the field, and it's changing the field. And it's like, very simple, you know, you are affected by what you read on the internet, but you're also changing the internet by what you communicate. So, and it's the same principle. This cult knows that this change is taking place. It can see it. It can increasingly tangibly see it. And so it didn't have forever to play the long game once this had started. It has to now reach its goal of locking down the human mind through AI and other psychological techniques before human minds awaken to the point where it's game over for the cult. And so that's why they couldn't hang about. They've got to make this happen quickly. And in entering the room, on one level, they're pushing their agenda on, but on another level, they're also waking people up who weren't awake before to the fact that the world's not like they thought it was.
Yeah, you know, that is fascinating. It's sort of a dilemma for them, because the more they push, the more they reveal, and there's nothing they can do about that. And it goes back to what you were saying about censorship. The censorship is actually an act of desperation.
Exactly.
Yes, and it shows a real weakness that they know they have. And, you know, what it's becoming so clear, David, is that we are facing an anti-human agenda. They're trying to reduce human beings to just being like this bag of virus-infested flesh that walks around exuding viruses everywhere. Like, that's all humanity is now, right? And it's just crucial that we don't buy this idea of what human beings are. And, you know, the hallmark of all of their agendas is always fear. They're all fear-based. That's the hallmark of everything they do. And losing fear really is the most important thing. I agree. It's so much what you're saying.
What do people?
And I wanted to ask you, what do you think the timeline is that we're facing now as this accelerates? Do you have any feeling or understanding of what the timeline
is? The idea of carrying around tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars.
They're giving us the timeline of
their. Isn't a very pleasant one.
Of their real
end game. A lot of people managing this much debt,
which is to connect the human mind and the human body, the human brain.
Fortunately, however, there are some strategies.
People like Ray Kurzweil at Google.
Know about them. If at all possible, the so-called futurist
who claims an 80% accuracy in predicting the future. Well, it's easy to predict the future if you know what the agenda's future is meant to be. Isn't it?
You can also pay more than your monthly payment to potentially get ahead.
But he's given the period, and others have talked about this too, and it's a key year, you know.
In addition to paying off your loan faster,
if you look at this UN agenda, literally called an agenda, Agenda 2030. It's for the transformation of human society using climate change, although now pandemic hoax as well, but human caused climate change as the driver.
If they feel their monthly payments are too high,
what is it? Agenda 2030.
They may need
and then the last time,
if you're someone
how many times, but the last time
loans,
they said we've got 12 years to save the planet because
of
global warming.
You might also want to think about consolidating them.
Take us to about 2030.
This will leave you with just one single month of payment.
You start to see that.
And a now, longer the, period of
what's
time
happening, because it's all psychology, and this is why they're really focusing on the kids,
forgiveness.
Is similar to changing they have a lot of extreme things coming. People think it's extreme now. Well, you know,
no additional
just
fee.
Do nothing and then
do is
observe.
Speak to your loan servicer.
Because that's what will
your
happen.
Your loan servicer is the company that oversees the billing of your student loan.
The human spirit has to be broken. Now, they've broken the human spirit in lots of people, but lots of people they haven't. And what they have to break is self-respect. They have to do that because self-respect is the state of being that has broken every tyranny in history. Because it's self-respect that says, no, I'm not doing it. No, I don't care. Do what you like. Do what you like. I ain't doing it. And that it all comes out of self-respect, because once self-respect is gone, the only thing left is submission. Because without self-respect, only submission remains. So what they're trying to do, and as you point some examples there, they're trying to break the self-respect of humanity individually and collectively. So if you look at, because of course the human caused climate change and the pandemic hoax are both being orchestrated by the same cult. And therefore, to the same end, and therefore, using the same psychological methods. So, what are they saying? Look at Extinction Rebellion and this climate cult, as I call it. What are they saying about humanity? Humanity is horrible. It's dangerous. It's a virus. It's because of humanity. Horrible humanity. They're horrible. You're horrible. That the planet is dying, and then they bring the kids in, divide from older people. See, it's the old people. That's why our future's been destroyed. It's how it all kind of works. In other words, humans are dangerous. Humans are horrible. And then you come to the pandemic hoax, and what they're saying is humans are dangerous. You must stay away from other humans. Not only must you stay away from other humans who could be dangerous to you, you could be dangerous to them. You are dangerous. Then you come to the mask. this is the greatest psychological operation in current events of all. Because I said right at the start, the plan is to incrementally, all over the world, increase the number of situations that they say you have to wear a mask and increase, crucially, the length of time you have to wear it. And where they're leading, it's already happened in many parts of the world, but in Britain, it's leading towards you can't leave your home without wearing a mask. Well, what I say to the authorities in Britain is bloody watch me, mate. Because you may be able to enslave my body, but you're not able to enslave my mind, and I'm not having it. So there's no way that I'm going there, and you better, they must know that already. So I've not worn a mask, and I've not done any of this stuff because I have too much self-respect. And so the mask is given to us because they have to give the conscious mind an excuse for why they're doing something. So they say it's to protect you from the virus. Well, that's insane. As endless now. I mean, really off the chart scientific studies and opinions of doctors and scientists have said these masks don't protect you from viral particles, even if you believe there is a virus. So it's nothing to do with that. It's to do with two things. One, physical, which is denying oxygen and making people breathe back the carbon dioxide their body's trying to expel. And as has been shown already, these masks very quickly develop what they call bacterial colonies and mold, which then start affecting health. All those things affect health, not least respiratory health. There was a picture of a child, which I saw this week, with a bacterial infection over the nose and all the area, which was mask related. So on one level, they're increasing the health consequences caused by masks, and they're going to call it COVID-19. But the foundation of the masks is psychological, because you used the word, I think, a few minutes ago, mate, dehumanization. Well, what's that? It's dehumanization. Our human interaction and discourse is founded on facial expressions. And without the facial expressions, that discourse is gone. Children, particularly babies, pick up all their guidance from the facial movements, expressions of particularly the mother. And with that gone, they will be completely, very confused because they're getting no guidance from facial expressions. I've got a book here by a psychologist all about how babies pick up their cues and their understandings from facial expressions of the mother in the early years, all gone when the mother's got a mask on. And it's also deleting the individuality of the person, because I know people who know people who've walked past them both with masks on, and they've not even recognized someone they've known for decades. So that's all part of it as well. But I did a lot of research from about 1996 and across the millennium into mind control, MK Ultra, and Project Monarch in America, and I met a lot of people who were in that program and of survivors of that program. And one of them was a lady called Kathy O'Brien, who I first met in 1996. And I've met her many times since. And I've also met her daughter, Kelly. And Kelly was born in captivity. Her mother was in MK Ultra and gave birth to Kelly while in captivity. And Kathy contacted me about 3 weeks ago. And she said, I just want to make a point about masks. She said, my daughter Kelly was born into MK Ultra. And from the age of 2, they made her wear a mask for 2 main reasons. One, to delete her sense of individuality and uniqueness. But also, this is the key, I think, in terms of masks on kids in schools and so on, to reduce the amount of oxygen reaching the brain,
right,
because that made it easier to rewire the personality and perceptions. And so now you have kids wearing masks. I mean, even by the official statistics, even if you believe in it, they have virtually no chance of getting this thing. But they're having to wear masks. And the idea is to keep increasing the length of time that people wear masks, especially kids, as all part of this whole process. What they're doing, in effect, is they're taking the techniques of MK Ultra and they're applying them to the global population. But symbols are incredibly powerful because they are the language of the subconscious. We dream in symbols, in symbolism, and not, though rarely, but very rarely, in literal terms, because the language of the subconscious is symbols. This is why this cult has this whole language of symbolism. The all-seeing eye and the pyramid and the lighted torch held by the Statue of Liberty, all these things are the most obvious ones. But there's a whole language going into very great detail of symbolism. And they put those symbols all around us because they're talking to the subconscious. And the symbol of the mask is subjugation, silencing, submission, and dehumanization. But symbols can be used in another way too. And while putting a mask on is symbolic of your subjugation, taking the mask off, or even not putting it on at all, and chuck it in a bin, is a massively powerful symbol of you expressing your freedom. And we have this symbol now, this symbol of the mask, which we can turn into a symbol of freedom by people refusing to wear it.
David Icke, amazing interview. We'll be coming up on the top of the hour break in about 2 minutes. And I'm joined by, this is Giuseppe Vaffangulo, the Wisdom Circle, October 21st, 2020. It's amazing, Scorpio, that listening to David when we recorded that interview last week, and we will play the completion right after the top of the hour break, is he's so dead on with this mask enslavement. With I was looking at some of my emails while the interview was playing earlier, and it's funny that mundane sources like PC Magazine and a Geographic Earth Studies email list, they're all talking about don't trust the disinformation about the flu shot and all this, and the control by the globalist media to rape your mind and try and get you to trust that deadly COVID-19 vaccine and the toxic and potentially deadly flu shot are good for you. It's just insidious, and it's totally shows the agenda, their satanic agenda. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're coming out of the closet, let's say. This is their coming out party. We're getting to see who these people really are and what they're really up to. And, hearing the interview a second time, it's just helping kind of solidify some of the things that we were hearing from him. And I think, especially about this pandemic, I just think he's spot on in excellent interview. I'm really enjoying hearing it, actually.
Yeah, anything that's really has levels and depth and substance, when you read it again or listen to an interview again, you pick up more things, and that's certainly what's going on with me as well. And we will be taking calls if anybody would like to call in. The interview is going to end about a half hour before the show's over. So 703-879-8880 or on Skype, look up Giuseppe Vaffangulo or Dolphin_Dave. And here's the top of the hour break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us.
That is interesting.
And of course, we had stated we would overrun the air civil war. You've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday.
Right.
I discuss government, health,
a lot of
metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
I'm just so crazy about the lizard thing either. I've got a story I'm going to tell one of these days about lizard.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Yeah. Well, we could be on the radar a little bit with this interview. No question. I'm sure they keep tabs on what the guy does.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, we're back here on the Wisdom Circle, and we're going to just wrap up our interview with David Icke and then maybe take some calls and do some after-show analysis as well.
That's right, Scorpio. If anyone would like to join the conversation after at about the 25 after the hour mark when the interview wraps up, 703-879-8880, or directly on Skype to Giuseppe, that's G-I-U-S-E-P-P-E, Vafangulo, V-A-F-A-N-S-C-U-L-O, or Dolphin_Dave, and we'd love for you to join the call. And we've got this timed out. It will just come in itself here in the next few seconds. And what an amazing fella David Icke is, and look forward to respectfully badgering him again in the near future, to especially once the election and the whole debacle is over, who's going to be installed, and how swiftly will they put in this agenda of the mandatory vaccines that they claim they're not going to do. But of course, that's their whole linchpin to their new world order, is the mandatory vaccines, as you so brilliantly observed on Jim Fetzer's Need to Know, the Fetzer report last night, that's all about. And you were saying that like 15 of the 20 points are all about mandatory vaccines. You want to tell people about that?
Oh, yeah, just 14 of the 17 points from the World Economic Forum directly or indirectly involve vaccines. And, you know, of course, what they might do is say, well, no, it's not mandatory, but, you know, gee, you can't get on an airplane, you can't get on public transportation, you can't work for the government, et cetera. Okay, here we go.
Nope, not yet. That's just it's coming now, though. Now that that's just our picture, it means in the next few seconds it will be kicking in. And yeah, it's really something else, that this satanic push. And we'll talk a lot more about how toxic and deadly vaccines are, and how you should never get a vaccine once the rest of the Ike
interview
is over.
I came across this video from this Italian doctor. I don't know if you've seen it. It was removed off of all the platforms, but someone put it back on one of those, not BitChute, but the other small one. I forget what it's called. And anyway, this guy lays out the whole thing about the vaccines, and he truly believes that they're going to use the vaccines to, you know, as a depopulation tool, essentially.
Absolutely, eugenics. I'm 100%. That is absolutely inspiring, David. I thank you again for coming on to Revolution Radio and Rising Tide Media. And one of my favorite quotes of yours is, it is appropriate that the word ignorance is an extension of the word ignore. We ignore so much, so we become ignorant. And so these days, especially with the mask wearers, cognitive dissonance reigns supreme. And what is your recommendation to people, in addition to taking off the mask, but also the ability to kind of expand their minds a little bit, to at least be neutral to these truths? So many now actively resist it, and their MK Ultra-like programming through the mass media is, no, I trust the government. No, I trust Big Pharma. No, I trust, the devil, really. And so what can we do to urge people to open up their perspective a little bit and take some of this truth in?
Well, first of all, look around you see how few people are driving this. Because one of the things that's been thrown at me over the years, of course, is it's not possible for a few to control the world. Well, if the human race gives its power to a few people, they can. And we've seen that. So the power of no is the way out of here. But it's also a very simple, if you just start at a simple premise, which shouldn't be too difficult, given the cascade of history. Authority lies to us. Governments lie to us. Corporations lie to us. The big pharma corporations, lying is their very foundation of their business.
Yeah.
Well, they lie to us, right? So is that too much of a stretch, people, that they lie to us, given the history of them lying to us? So instead of saying, well, the government says this, or this big pharmaceutical cartel that makes its multi billions out of us being sick, cares about us being well. I love it.
Yeah.
So they lie to us. So when they tell us something, instead of saying, okay, this must be correct, start from the premise they're lying to you. Because my experience over 30 years is if you simply take what authority says to you and invert it, reverse it, you're going to be massively closer to the truth doing that than if you accept what they say is correct. It works virtually every time. So instead of saying, you know, I'm going to believe what they say, they lie to us. So you start from that premise. So then you say, okay, now I'm going to look into other areas of information to see if I can get a fix on whether they're lying this time. 99.9% of the time it will be yes. But also the key thing, why are they lying to me? Now, they're lying to you because they want to dictate your perception so that your behavior will allow them to take the world in the direction that they want. That's why they're lying to you. The question of the ages, whenever we're being told anything, who benefits? Let's just take the last few months called 2020. Who benefits from what has happened? Okay. Has the population benefited? Oh, absolutely not. They've lost jobs, they've lost businesses, and there are many reasons why that was made to happen by ludicrous lockdowns. Who's benefited from the lockdowns? Small business, medium business, even some big business that's not owned by the cult? No. Destroyed them. Who's benefited from the lockdowns financially, economically? Amazon, Facebook, all these big corporations owned by the cult. Who's benefited from people facing all these restrictions? Human freedom? No. What's benefited is anyone who wants to destroy human freedom. Anyone that wants to introduce a situation where a tiny few people are dictating the fine detail of the lives of the population, they benefit from what has happened. So when you start to look at it from this perspective, suddenly you say, well, hold on a minute. The only people that have benefited are the people telling us we have to do it. and then, you know, that's when the curtain opens, the mist clears, and you start to see what's really behind this. And it's interesting, you know, with the Yellow Brick Road and the Wizard of Oz, right, which is actually a part of the programming technique within MKUltra. Oh, no. But what happened? They were frightened of the wizard and the power of the wizard. And then they saw when the curtain opened.
Yeah.
Power was illusory. The wizard had no power. Its power was in persuading others it had power. And that's exactly what we're facing. We are being subjugated by the illusion that authority has power over us only if we allow it. And when we stop, it's game over. And it better be game over soon, because if people think it's bad now, and it is, this is only where we are now. It's not where it's meant to go. So
now
before it gets even more challenging.
Yeah. David, you know, in your years of research, you know, obviously the bankers are somewhere near the top of the pyramid with their ability to, you know, create money out of nothing. It's essentially an act of alchemy or black magic. And that's, the money is what enables him to enact everything. But, you know, years ago there was some talk of a Pindar character. Who do you think is at the top of the pyramid in this whole cult structure that we're dealing with?
Well, the Rothschilds are right up there. But the inner core of the core are people that don't put themselves on public display. Right. And if you go deep enough into it, you leave the human realm. This is one of the areas that you know, I've had a lot of ridicule about, because, you know, people look at the night sky and they see those amazing explosion of lights and stars and planets, and they say, do you think we're alone? What? And then you think that what you're seeing in that night sky is a tiny, tiny smear of what exists in the space you're looking at, or the, what appears to be the space you're looking at. Because we live in a reality in which, according to mainstream science, the electromagnetic spectrum is 0.005% of what exists in the universe. And visible light, which is the only frequency band that we can see, so our entire visual reality, is a tiny smear of the 0.005%. So when people go, do you think we're alone? they're actually talking about a smear of 0.005% of what exists in the universe. What exists in terms of life and reality and expressions of life beyond the smear that we can see? Well, infinite possibility. But none of this is taught in the schools, and science is all kind of dismissing it because its whole premise has been developed by the cult. But, you know, these people in this cult are very sick. They're super psychopathic. But intellectually, they're not stupid, not least in understanding how to manipulate the human psyche and human perception. So if they're not stupid, why are they constantly doing their satanic rituals to unseen forces? Why are they doing that? I mean, I've talked to so many people around the world who've taken part in these rituals, and the way they describe them is in very compelling common themes. Because they're doing the rituals now they were doing in ancient Babylon. Why and beyond? And why? Because the rituals are designed to have an impact on this field I talked about, a vibrational impact on this field, which thins out the energetic difference and frequency difference between their ritual and these other gods that they worship and are actually driving human society via this cult web. They're doing it because these other forces exist. And one of the things that I found very, again, compelling over the decades is when you travel around the world and you talk to Native Americans, you talk to Aboriginals, you talk to the Zulu people from the Zulu nation, and so on around the world. And you read ancient accounts. You read accounts of the Gnostics who talked about manipulative entities called archons, a Greek word meaning rulers.
Right.
Then you look at I say Islamic, it's actually pre-Islamic perception of what they call the jinn, who are entities operating outside of human sight, manipulating human society. And you see this compelling theme. And then you see the whole basis of these satanic rituals and who they're actually interacting with and worshipping in the ritual. And the common themes are very, very compelling. So that's what's driving it. From the unseen, and this global web is playing it out in the world that we perceive and we experience. But what they have to do to impose this control is they have to bring us down, because they operate because every emotion, every thought, every state of being is represented by frequency. The frequency of depression, heavy, dense, slow frequency, fear, freeze frequency, love, high frequency, joy, high frequency. All these different things are different frequencies. And what they operate within is a band of frequency that's very low vibrational. It basically all around the frequency of fear and all the offshoots of fear, anxiety, depression, all these things. So what they have to do, because that's their stadium, they can't go into these other levels because of their state of being. they have to pull humanity into this frequency band. So they've structured society to dictate maximum fear, maximum anxiety, maximum depression, all these low vibrational emotions to pull us in. And when you do that, you come into a perceptual bubble. You start to process everything through the five senses alone. And basically, you're operating, when you're in five sense alone reality, you're operating in their frequency stadium. But when and that's why they want us to self-identify with our labels. They want us to identify with being a man, a woman, this religion, that race, whatever. Because these are not who we are. They're not the true I. They are what the true I is experiencing. So the idea is to get us to self-identify the true I with an experience, a label. So we come into these low vibrational states and also these senses of limitation. If you self-identify only with what we call the physical and the labels of the physical, then everything seems limited. Everything seems I can't. Everything seems it's not possible. To change things means that it has to happen slowly because it's dense and slow like treacle. But when you realize that this reality is just a physical illusion, it's a holographic illusion, and that what we call human society is simply a projection of the sum total of human perception. So if you can pull people into identifying the I with labels, first of all, you have infinite ability to divide and rule by playing the labels off against each other. But you also bring people into a sense of limitation. And this, I know identity politics is all about divide and rule. I know that. But it's about something else. It's about subdividing labels into smaller and smaller self-identities. So now you have this long list of letters where people feel the need to self-identify and label the fine detail of their sexuality. I don't care what you do with it as long as the receiver's happy. I don't care. None of my business. Don't make it my business by telling me what I have to do because of your profession. No, thank you, I won't do it. But what I'm saying is that that's what happens when you self-identify with the labels, which is what human society tells you to do. But when you change your self-identity and you say, I am consciousness, I am an infinite state of awareness, having a brief experience called human, and these labels are not me, they are what I am experiencing. And when the me leaves, I will take the experience, but I won't take the labels because they're just a brief experience. And what happens is as you expand your sense of self, you naturally start moving in to greater and greater swathes of consciousness. Very quickly, you go beyond the realm of the cult. And once you do that, the world of the cult, what we call human society, totally changes. Instead of seeing everything random and dots like you do in this mode, suddenly you see the pictures, you see the patterns, you see the connections. This is the process of awakening. Is not awakening to something. We are already that. It's awakening from something, which is the perceptual programs that have disconnected us from a conscious connection to the true I. And so this process of seeing the names, dates, places level, very important, but also with it, moving your consciousness into expanded states of awareness, these two things go together. Because once you do that, you see that. in a completely different light. They don't want this cult is working so hard to keep us there. And so what keeps us there more than anything else? Fear. Because fear is a very low vibrational to the point of freezing state of being. So if they can hold us in levels of fear, they're holding us in their stadium. And they've played that card massively, of course, in 2020. But when you hold on a minute, I am all that is and ever can be, having an experience called human. What is there to be frightened of? Oh, frightened to death? Well, would you want to stay here forever? you got forever to explore forever. Of course we're going to, quote, die. What do you mean die? The body ceases to function. We don't. And when you come from that perspective, everything changes, including you don't fear. You're not intimidated. All the things that we have to be controlled by a few people disappear, you know, which is why I say I'm not going to wear a mask under any circumstances. Oh, we'll put you in jail. Go ahead. You can briefly enslave my body, you know, enslave my mind, like yours is enslaved, or doing it. You know, everything changes, you know, and, you know, when you realize that we are on an eternal journey of exploring forever, what matters about what happens in one fleeting smear of what we call time? There'll be another experience along in a minute.
David, I thank you so much. We're coming, went so quick, our allotted interview time with Revolution Radio and our new sister entity, Rising Tide Media. And one final question. You observed, when humanity remembers we are all one consciousness having different experiences, you just mentioned, the illusional fault lines that divide us will fall and peace will come. How do you see a true peace coming?
Once you realize we are each other, but unique expressions of each other, that's why glorying in your own uniqueness and the realization that we're all connected are not exclusive of each other. They are different expressions of the same thing. And when you think this is just, you know, this is just an experience, it takes the, I saw an advertisement once. It wasn't a good advertisement because I can't remember what it was for, but it was brilliant little cameo. And it had a baby coming out of the womb and flying through the air at very fast speed. And as it was flying through the air, it was getting older and older and older and older and older, till it was an old person and it crashed into the grave at the other end. And I thought, well, that just sums up how people see life. It's like, gotta get somewhere. And you go, well, when you're trying to get, oh, I'm trying to get here and there and there and there. And then when you get there, how do you feel now? Well, I don't feel any different, really. A bit more pressure, right? So it's like, gotta. But when you realize we're on this eternal journey of exploration forever within all possibility, chill out. And when you realize we are each other, the desire to have conflict, to walk all over so you can get above them. Or, no, you know, I'm not against competition. Competition in sport, it can be, you know, it's good and it can drive people on. I'm talking about walking all over people so that, you know, you get to the top of the greasy pole. None of this matters once you realize we're all each other. And, of course, once you stop self-identifying with labels and the desire for your label to have power over other labels, the divide and rule potential just completely disappears. And I have a simple philosophy on life. Do what you like, so long as you don't impose it on anyone else. That basically negates almost every law that exists. They are unnecessary. All laws are unnecessary. Once you reach a certain level of consciousness and awareness and interaction, laws are necessary to overcome the limitations of ignorance. That's why we have them. You don't need a law that says you shall not murder, when the idea of taking another life would never enter your consciousness. But in lower levels of ignorance and programmed perception, you need a law saying you shall not murder to discourage people from doing it. Another level of consciousness, no need for any of it, because you wouldn't think of doing it. And that's the difference between a suppressed consciousness society and an expanded consciousness society. So, and because, I'll finish on this, because human society is a collective expression in how we live and what we experience of human perception. When human perception changes, its projection changes. So this idea of, it change is ever so slow. No. Change perception changed the world. Change collective perception changed the world. We've had a lovely chat. We've got on great. We've had an experience because of that. We could have had an argument and cussed and shouted, and we've had an unpleasant experience because of that. So when we change our perceptions, we change the world. This is why perception is the stadium in which it's all played out, and why the cult wants to control perception, because by controlling perception, they control human society. We need to take our perceptions back, and then we'll take human society back. No guns necessary.
Bravo.
David, it's so important how you always take things into the spiritual, because a lot of people get stuck on the conspiracy. And really, ultimately, this is a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual battle in some sense. And I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing the spiritual aspect of this, as well as the informational side.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. We must do it again.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you again. You are a true hero of mine and a true hero of humanity. And God bless you. We're sending you positive energy here and everybody at Revolution Radio. And I'll send you the links when we get these shows up. And thank you so much, sir. And God bless you.
Thanks very much. Just say no.
Take care. Thank you very much.
You're a hero. Take care, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. David Icke returned to Revolution Radio after many years and at a slightly higher celebrity status than years back. And we were honored to have him. It took months to arrange that interview because he is so white hot as a truth speaker in this world controlled by satanic liars known as the globalist parasites, or as Henry Ford called them, the international Jew, the synagogue of Satan. It's whatever you want to call it. They are evil and they are trying to destroy our way of life. And you know what? Sadly, you see all these weak-minded people wearing these masks. They're winning. And I don't know, Scorpio, what do you think?
It is disconcerting seeing all these people wear masks. But I'm seeing more and more people that aren't. So, I kind of vacillate about how hopeful I feel about things, to be honest. I think we're kind of in a holding pattern right now until after this election is over. And then I think one way or another, we're going to move into a different stage of things shortly after the election. We'll see, though. You know, my crystal ball is here, but it's not functioning right now.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. We are moving into a different stage. And, as the great Icke said, they're in the room now. The door's closed behind them. They're exposed. And sadly, still far too many billions of people believe the the lies of the Holocaust and believe the lies of the eternal victims. But, you know, more and more people are waking up, and, you know, it's going to really be something here in the next couple months, because the election for president, which is going to be somehow disrupted, somehow compromised. I mean, this whole huge push for mail-in ballots because of the scamdemic, because of a glorified flu season that's been seasoned with the ghost pepper known as fear. You know, oh, be so afraid, oh, COVID-19. You know, that's the brilliant evil of these Satanists, is to make the new terrorists. They got a 20-year run with the Muslim because of the 9/11 false flag, and now they've got the new terrorist that's going to go for probably even longer, the common cold, the coronavirus, that is so ubiquitous, so omnipresent in nature. It's in every mammal. It's in every it's even in reptiles. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And yet that's now the new nanoterrorist. Be afraid of a part of nature that's there all the time. And the, what offends me and infuriates me is these corporate shitheads, these big pharma lackeys. I read the other day where they, I forget who said it, but they're, I think it was the World Health Organization, but they said, you know, there is no herd immunity, which is ridiculous. That's all there is natural immunity. The vaccines never worked. There's never been one vaccine that worked. They're all toxic. They're all deadly. They're all a scam. And dating back to 1746, when the clown, the apocryphal clown, Sir Edward Jenner, supposedly created the smallpox vaccine. He did nothing of the sort. He murdered his son and his stepson. And that's been the history of vaccines ever since. They never work. They're deadly. They're hubristic arrogance of the arrogant man of letters who can conquer nature. No, you can't. You're just messing it up, and that's all vaccines do.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of speculation about what this vaccine will actually be. I think the bottom line is this: the reason they're pushing for it so hard is this is going to be their primary tool in managing the population, managing how long people live, and how many people are on the planet. I think that's the ultimate end goal. That's why the vaccine is at the top of the pyramid. It's the most important thing. You know, we can't have life again until we have the vaccine. And so I just want to address one thing too. Someone from the chat room on YouTube is saying, a lot of metaphysical blah, blah, blah when the battle is on the streets. And I think it's important to realize, like, you know, you can't look at this just from one perspective. You know, the highest level to look at it from is, of course, the metaphysical. But, of course, the battle on the streets is very real as well. So we have to be willing to look at things, you know, from multiple layers and different perspectives. And, you know, you can't just focus on one aspect of it. At least that's how I see it.
You know, that's an excellent point, and we want to thank the EAH for posting his thoughts. The interesting thing about the battle on the streets is the distortion portal, which is television or the mass media, makes it seem like there's so much rioting and so much going on, and you know what? There isn't. There's a select handful of mentally imbalanced crazies out in some big cities, but even here in DC it's pretty much evaporated. You know, I don't understand that whole mental insanity going on in Portland and in Seattle, and a little lesser extent Austin, Texas now is a hotbed, I guess. But other than that, you know, most cities it's business as usual, and except that the urban thug underclass is now really inflamed and weaponized, and they're attacking white people randomly, which is the media is not reporting, but it's going on each day with violent assaults and murders, which is really sad. But what did you expect when you take an underclass who is an underclass because they're pretty much mentally challenged. And let's face it, the in America, 13% of the population is black, right? Of that 13%, 80% is working class or above, which means they figured it out. We're all getting screwed in the working class and now even in the middle class with this insane level of stolen wealth. I mean, we're just living through this scamdemic, the greatest wealth transfer in the history of man. I mean, it's insane what the internationalist Jew has pulled off. And it's because they control the government, they control banking, they control the puppets at the highest level of government. It's offensive. And so, but, you know, the the people who are in that 20% of the 13% who are all agitated and worked up and low impulse control and now acting violently, it's not going to end well for them. I mean, especially if Trump's elected, you know, he is not going to tolerate that in a second term when he no longer has to worry about getting reelected. And I, for one, would like to see a controlled dose of the iron fist of fascism drop on Portland, drop on Seattle, and install order there and take care of those mental deviants, because if you can't function in a society like this where there's a lot of getting screwed and wealth stolen, but there's still a lot of opportunity and a lot, we're the only place where you still can say the Holocaust is a joke, it's a lie. If you say that in Europe, you're going to prison. That's what they want to try and do here, but they're not going. I mean, they're going to try, but it's not going to work.
I've been monitoring what's going on, you know, with this cover up of the new Joe Biden escapades. And, you know, they're in full cover up mode. I thought that for sure they were going to have to start to admit, well, yeah, this happened, but blah, blah, blah. No, they're still going with a Russian disinformation cover story. And it seems to me, you know, the smart move for these globalists, they've pushed things so far. I don't see what point it is to have Trump in office anymore for the conspirators. I think they're going to do all they can to get him out of office, and give the control over to the Democrats, to the Senate. I mean, to the Senate. That way they have all three houses, and there's not going to be any more resistance if they're able to achieve that, because so much of this agenda, you know, revolves around the green agenda and the agenda 2030, and, you know, Trump's not going along with that either, so... I don't know. How do you see this playing out now? I mean, you'd think this would be a crash and burn moment for Joe Biden's campaign.
Right. It's funny that the Democrats and the weak-minded neoliberal, not the classical liberal who can think, you know, the people from the 60s or 70s, but the new neoliberal who's just mind-controlled, the soccer mom who – won't let her vaccinated child play with your unvaccinated child because she's afraid, even though if vaccines worked, your vaccinated child would be all good. And the unvaccinated is at risk because those little kids are damaged and they're shedders. They're shedding the disease they were vaccinated for. That's one of the giant lies of vaccines. And then, but to address the exact point, is they are going for it. They want all three houses. And because the Democratic Party is now George Soros's, the vile Jew who has sold out his fellow Jews during World War II, Hungarian Jews, sold them to the Nazis. And if you know anything about the Jewish tribe, they never turn on another Jew. That's like with us, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. For the Jew, the first commandment is never, never harm another Jew. That's just how insular they are. And so for him to do that just shows what a despicable lowlife he is. I mean, he's a psychopath, a craven psychopath. And so now he has managed through his ill-gotten gains of millions of dollars through the parasitic globalist banking system to be able to literally buy off at so many levels the Democratic Party. In the Talmudic faith, there's a myth of the Jewish golem where they create this giant clay statue, and then the rabbi brings it to life, and the golem attacks all the Jew enemies, right? And so that is what George Soros, Yorgi Schwartz, has done with the Democratic Party. There is no Democratic Party anymore. They're a bunch of traitors, a bunch of UN Agenda 2030, New World Order puppets, and they're going to do everything they can to steal this election for their master, George Soros. And, you know, there's an excellent chance they can pull it off. I mean, there's so many people who are so insane with Trump derangement syndrome. Look at Bruce Springsteen, the Boss. You know, love that guy's music. One of the generational talents of rock and roll, you know, but now he's like, I'm going to move to Australia. Trump's reelected. I'm like, really, Bruce, really, Boss, that you're a 9-figure millionaire. Is that right? Is that, let's see, 7-figure is like 7 million. Yeah. You're a 9-figure millionaire. And you're afraid when you can, you know, live in a mansion, you can hire private security up the yin yang. You can avoid anything that we're going to have to endure with, but you're going to go to Australia. And it gets better because Australia is in a draconian lockdown. So to me, I've lost all respect for the Boss. In fact, he needs a new nickname. You take off the B-O at the front and you put P-U and then you add a Y. And instead of the Boss, he's the P-U-S-S-Y.
Yeah, so where do you think this is heading?
Utter chaos. I think that's the intention, is to create a situation where the globalists want a civil war. And I just saw in a recent survey in the last day or two where like it's over 60% of the surveyed people believe a civil war is inevitable and they're preparing for it. And once you get a civil war, then you've got the Hegelian dialectic occurring of problem, reaction, solution. And right. So the solution will be to, my God, America, that's the core of the petrodollar. We have to stabilize it. So here come the traitorous side of the military and the UN troops. And there will be a pretty violent shooting war with the loyalist nationalist side of the military. So you're going to divide the military. And oh boy, it is not going to be fun. Then they cut off the just-in-time food supply, so we're all going to be starving. So you have to hope that the military that is loyal to this nationalist state, the sovereign republic of the United States, the great republic, the great experiment, rather, it wins quickly. Otherwise, we're going to be living a dystopian nightmare. And it will only take about 60 days because that's how short the food supply is. I mean, actually, right. You'll start starving in like 30 days. But, you know, a lot of smart people now have about 30 days of food and rice and canned soup and tuna. So, you know, if you stretch that out, and it's just enraging me to think that these vile, satanic, Talmudic Jews are this close to destroying our country. It's so offensive to me.
Yeah, but you know, I just don't see how we're going to have a real civil war like we did in the 1860s. People just aren't that tough anymore. You know, people aren't going to line up and shoot each other like they did before. Are you saying it's just going to be more like a breakdown of the social order rather than a classical, let's say, civil war?
Well, it will be both. There are a lot of militias and a lot of heavily armed white nationalists in this country, many, many millions, realistically. And you've got the urban thugs and the Antifa types who are much smaller, but they're armed. So that will be where the shooting war starts. And then you've got the mentally imbalanced white anarchists and communists, the Bolshevik 2.0 types, who are going to try to raid the suburbs, and they'll have some arms, but people in most suburbs are more heavily armed, so they'll be shot and killed pretty easily. So then the bigger war will be for the control of the nukes, for the control of the government, and that'll be where it's the UN troops and the traitorous military who sides with the UN versus the loyal American troops who side with the Republic. So you'll have it in the streets, and you'll have actual warfare like used to happen in Iraq or Syria, when we stupidly went and fought wars for the parasitic Israelis and their greater Israeli program.
Don't you think if it reaches that sort of point, they're just going to bring in UN troops or the National Guard as quickly as possible? Or
no, because it's going, the UN troops will fight the National Guard and will fight the troops who don't want the United States. The key here is it will be a divided military. It will be 80% of the military will not take orders from the UN, right? 20-25% will, especially the Mexicans and the non-American troops that have joined the military to get their citizenship, and that's where the actual war will occur. So
interesting.
Yeah, it'll be like Syria.
Yeah, we'll
it'll
have to see how it plays out. I think a lot's going to depend on whether or not Trump wins, because I think we're just in a holding pattern right now for the next 2 weeks, and you're going to have some hairy scenarios go down either way. It's going to be different depending on who wins, though.
You know, I didn't think Trump would win, but now with this Biden thing, if like I said last night on Jim Fetzer's fantastic news commentary and analysis show, Need to Know the Fetzer Report, which is daily on YouTube, Twitter, and what did I leave out? Facebook. So you Need to Know the Fetzer Report. It's streamed live daily. Plus it's at BitChute and Brighteon. And it's actually, they archive it still on YouTube. They haven't figured out that they want to shut us down. They just don't know. They're dealing with bigger fish, but they're coming for us. And that's why we're setting up.
I'll send you that video from that Italian doctor. It was on Brighteon. That was the platform it's on. It had been taken down from other platforms, Facebook, YouTube, and all that.
Well, I put up Need to Know each night on both BitChute and Brighteon. Need to Know the Fetzer Report. It's the best show there is to get the keen insights of yourself, myself, and Jim Fetzer. And Jim writes the scripts, and he's a 79-year-old, soon-to-be 80-year-old dynamo. So, yes, best case, Scorpio, Trump wins, and he uses a little bit of the Iron Fist to suppress the traitorous Bolsheviks, the Antifa types, and the anarchists. That's the best case scenario. And the worst case is Biden wins and they go pedal to the metal on this new world order, mandatory vaccination. We're joining the North American Union. If you don't take the Gates quantum tattoo that proves you're vaccinated, you are no longer a part of this society.
Right.
And at first, we'll let you just stay in your house. But after about a year, they're going to start coming for all of us.
Sure. And it's not mandatory. You just can't go anywhere or do anything if you don't have it. That's all,
Right. And you stay in your house and get your groceries delivered and you walk your dogs at night. But we're still worried that your health might infect our sickness and toxicity. And we want you to be sick and dying with us. So you need to take this vaccination I'll give them a shot, give them their best. I'll kill many of them before they end up killing me. And with my three war wolves, the three huskies who will protect me with their lives. So, I'm going down in a blaze of glory, and I've got the anarchist handbook. So if it seems like they're coming for me, there's going to be lots of nice booby traps as they approach. So
that's a classic book, man.
It is. There's some great.
Interesting.
Great.
It's going to come down to come and get me, man, some point. And, once they really unveil their behavior on that level, they're going to lose the support of most people real quickly. So
you would hope,
but, you know, they've already taken things into such a bad place. They can't turn around now. They have to keep going. They have to push forward and make things a lot worse than they are now. There's no, if you look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, there's no other options for them.
Right. In the chat room, and we want to thank everybody for listening and chatting. The great Pat Rabbit, who's part of the management team and phenomenal guitar recording artist and has his own show on Revolution Radio as well. He pointed out that the Pope just endorsed same-sex marriage today. You know, maybe there's something about Watchmen and the Jesuits.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I think the other reason that Trump has been loathed by these people is that he's rejected this climate agenda as well. And that's really, you know, the climate agenda dovetails with the corona agenda. And because they're meant to accomplish the same things in a lot of ways. And of course, the end game from all this is no private property.
Right, right. You know, we keep saying Bolshevik 2.0, but it's really the UN is communist 2.0, right? That Agenda 2030 right. is nothing more than technocracy. You know, my show, The Perfect Triangle, the evil three sides of an equilateral triangle, the UN satanic agenda, the three sides of the satanically evil triangle are communism, technocracy, and totalitarianism.
Right.
And so that is, I've lived a good life. If they pull it off, I'm going to become a deadly guerrilla fighter, and I'll spend my few remaining weeks or months till they, you know, because they have such firepower, they can destroy people like you and I in a heartbeat. But you know, if we can take a couple of them and you know, raise the morale of the guerrillas, GUERILA, as in guerrilla warfare, not the urban thug gorilla, which is GORILA.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I'll tell you, man, we're heading for some serious SHTF coming up real soon either way.
Yeah, it is.
So we're coming up to the final couple of minutes, Giuseppe. What would be some of your closing thoughts, having heard the David Icke interview a second time, and just where you feel things are right now?
Well, first, I'd like to thank the great David Icke for taking the time out, because he's at a high level. You know, he's doing broadcasts that reach people with like Brian Rose in the millions, right? So it's very cool that he understands that smaller platforms like ours are dedicated, awake, and loyal. And he didn't say, no, I'm too big for you. He made time in his schedule. So thank you so much, David Icke. And secondly, I think that as he pointed out, the hidden hand, as he tactfully called the satanic internationalist Jew, the globalist parasites, the Satanists, they're in the room and the door is closed and they're all in now. And so it is going to get awful. It is going to get so much worse. The first wave of the scamdemic was a test, and they couldn't believe how easily the mass of cowardly sheeple obeyed and wear masks to this day. So they're going to
ratchet
it
on their fellow human beings. Right. And it's like Mike Gaddy said several times, you cannot have people accept a new system or some kind of revolutionary change if they're comfortable. And that's why they have to make things much worse than they are. And we've already gone too far. They can't turn around now. There's no way.
It's funny. They like the Vince Lombardi, great Green Bay Packer teams of the 60s with the vaunted power sweep, just kept running it until you can prove you can stop it. And
right.
that is what the Satanists do with the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. It's their only play in their playbook. And right now their problem, reaction, solution is, we're screwing the working class. We're squeezing the middle class. Last month in August. Anyway,
here we go. There's
the power,
the music.
People. Fight the power.
Okay, there's the music. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will be back next week. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.